Well, in the last few years, like everyone, I've been getting old. I turned 60 in April. And I find as you're starting to get older, things start to go wrong. And I don't know whether I shared with you last year, but I faced surgery for lung cancer about just over 4 years ago. And during that time, I remember it was right in the middle of COVID and all the restrictions and things that were happening then. But I had to wait in a specialist surgery at RPA. So one of the good things about being a chaplain is that you can visit people. But if you've had some experience in health problems, it informs you a little bit about what people go through. And I was sitting in a respiratory specialist's waiting room, waiting for the last appointment before the doctor had his lunch break. And this doctor, he's now retired now, he was a lovely guy, but he was running about 2 hours late. And when you're wondering what on earth is going on, and you're running 2 hours late, you start to imagine scenarios in your head if you're a little bit like me. And I'm a glass half empty kind of guy. I always think the worst, which in this case was probably right. But anyway, I was wondering what his verdict would be. And I think getting a verdict from a specialist is important. We'll get back to verdicts in our texts. Now, about 10 minutes later, while I'm waiting for my appointment, from his room, I can hear coughing, dreadful coughing. The sort of coughing that sounds like somebody has severe lung problems. And he sounded like his entire respiratory system was in some sort of collapse. Now, this is in the darkest time of COVID. And I'm thinking, what's happening here? He's the respiratory doctor. I'm the patient. Do I have to go in and perform the Heimlich manoeuvre on him? Is there something wrong? Well, it turns out I just about should have. He was eating a ham sandwich and it got stuck in his throat. He coughed it up. He was okay. I had my appointment and I received my verdict. You go through life having verdicts, don't you? From the beginning of school, you'll get school reports. He needs to pay more attention. Or all my kids' reports were when they were at school was they need to be more focused. And I think if they were getting reports now, as now they're all in their 20s, I think that would be the same report, need to be more focused. So we get doctor's verdicts, we get university course verdicts, but we know as Christians there is one final verdict to come, and that is a final judgment. Now, so turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. We're looking at the passage there, verses 31 to 46, verses 31 to 46, the sheep and the goats. Now, this is the final parable in Matthew's gospel, though it's probably not a typical parable. It has some elements of parable in there, but it is actually teaching about what is to come. It follows a bunch of parables that Jesus has been teaching about the end of the age. And it begins with what's called in Matthew's Gospel, the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus is teaching on the Mount of Olives. And that begins in Matthew 24. But there's a big theme of these two chapters, 24 and 25, and that is to be ready, to be prepared. Be ready for the end of the age, be ready for the kingdom, be ready for King Jesus, who is coming as judge at the end of the age. And this parable comes straight after the parable of the 10 virgins and the parable of the talents. And both are there to teach the Jesus' disciples to be ready and to be alert and in the meantime be actively serving the King. And one of the things about Christians is we are called to follow and trust Jesus. Excuse me. But we are also called... Do we have any water? Is that possible? Sorry, I'm getting a bit dry. Whenever I speak, I get dry. So to be ready to serve Jesus, but also to be active in our service. So when the King comes, what sort of people will he find ready for him? Well, firstly, this king is coming and it's a big event. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate them one from another just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Well, the first thing to say here is there is a final judgment. There will be a coming day when Jesus actually calls everything to account. Thanks, John.
There's a little shelf here.
Now, we live in a world where I think everyone thinks that things are going to go on just as they have all along. And one of the, I guess, the lies of philosophies is they want to cut off God at the beginning as creator, and they also want to cut off the end, God as a judge. So if you want to portray a religious nut in a TV show, what does he do? He walks around with a sandwich board saying, "Repent, for the end is nigh." That's how you portray a religious lunatic. But we know as Christians, there is a coming day. There will be a judgment. The end may well be nigh, and we need to be ready. And this will be a big event. It won't be something secret. It will be a big deal. Jesus says, the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the angels with him, and sits on his glorious throne. That will be a big event. So you think of all the big events you've seen in your lifetime. We've just seen the Olympics in Paris, soccer World Cups, all the sorts of things. This will outstrip everything. And verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him. All the nations, everyone is going to be there. All nations, all peoples, they will be assembled on that day before the great throne of the king. And this will be an event where the king is not a passive participant, but he is front and centre of every activity. Was it last year that Charles was crowned king? Yes, it was, wasn't it? I don't know whether you watched the coronation last year, but it was a huge event. Not seen in my lifetime and many of your lifetimes, so some of you might remember Queen Elizabeth's coronation as well. There were huge crowds in London, right from the Abbey down to the Mall to Buckingham Palace. But in that coronation, the King, Charles, was a fairly passive participant. He sat while the Archbishop of Canterbury got his crown and all the people came forward, that lady with the sword and all that sort of stuff. It was all impressive stuff. But the king wasn't doing very much except being crowned. Jesus at this event is no passive observer. He is the judge. And all of humanity is there. No one will escape this. They will acknowledge the king, but they're there to be judged. And it says he will separate the sheep from the goats. He will separate them one from another just as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. Now, the sheep and goats can look similar, but they are very different and they have very different purposes in life. And this reminder of the judgment says that there will be a separation. There will be a reckoning. We like to think people in our world like to think that when there is an ending, that everyone will be okay, that we'll all be up there. If you've ever been to a funeral and heard those eulogies, that you'll be up there having a beer with your mates and St. Peter will let you in the pearly gates and all this sort of thing. Everyone are going to be there. Well, no, this is different. There is going to be a separation. There will be a reckoning. There will be a judgment. Judgments decide things. We judge winners in art shows, the best scones or cakes at the Easter show. If you've ever been to a dog show, you'll see best behaved dogs. We have a beagle at home. She'll never win anything like that because she just doesn't behave. So we make judgments all the time. We decide one thing over another. But this final judgment, humanity's divided in two. And Jesus says, like a shepherd separating sheep from goats, the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Now, this is not a political distinction of left and right. No, it is there to show that there are sheep and there are goats. The righteous and the unrighteous, they will be separated and judged. So I think it's important from Jesus to see from Jesus' words here that history is going somewhere. There's a beginning in the garden, and there will be an end of earthly human history with this judgment. It's happening. It's actually going to happen. And in this judgment, there will be winners and losers. It just so happened I was at the rugby league last night at the Sydney Football Stadium, and I was going for the team that lost. There are winners and losers. There's winners and losers in all sorts of things, but certainly in this judgment, there are winners and losers. Verse 34, the king will say to those on his right, these are the sheep, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, we know from our Bibles, from Psalm 23, from John chapter 10, that God's people are described as sheep. And our shepherd is the Lord Jesus. He says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And in this judgment, there will be winners and losers, as I said. There is a place for winners in history, a place where the king rules. But who are the subjects of this kingdom? Well, he says about them, for I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. And I was in prison, and you visited me. Who are the subjects of the kingdom? The ones who reached out, the ones who showed compassion on all sorts of people. And then they ask, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Well, when did all these things happen? Jesus said, or the king says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Now, it's very important there. There's a distinction, isn't there? What are they doing? They're showing compassion. And they're saying, well, when do we do that? When you showed compassion, verse 40, you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did for me. Well, those who are King Jesus' people serve Jesus. They've been called to follow and obey. But as I said, there is some bewilderment in this judgment. Unless you are there as a disciple of Jesus, you couldn't do this for him. There are many believers who gather must think, when did we do this? And Jesus says that service to others is service to him. Now, there's much discussion in the commentaries about what brothers or brothers and sisters might mean. Jesus is showing, when you did this to the least of the brothers and sisters of mine, what is Jesus talking about? Well, Jesus is talking about believers. That's us as Christians, those who trust in Jesus. Now, that's not to negate doing good for the poor and outcast of all different situations. The Bible says we should do that as well. And God sets out many times we need to reach out to all sorts of people and show compassion and kindness. But that's not what this passage is saying at the moment. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, to Christians, because they and us are ministering in an unfriendly world and need all the help and support from fellow Christians. So in our world, we prayed for a lot of our missionaries this morning. There are Christians out in the world in service. They are tired and sick. They are often poor. Do we care for them? Some of them are in prison for their faith. You might have known about the story of Dr. Ken Elliott, the SIM missionary. He'd been held hostage by Islamic extremists in Africa for 7 long years. His wife had been released, and he was released last year. And it was a wonderful answer to prayer. It was almost unexpected because he was very old, in his late 80s. But he was released, and it was an answer to prayer. I'm sure that family needed care and support. His wife needed care and support. And in fact, I think there was an ABC foreign correspondent had an interview with him recently. I think you can watch on iView or whatever the catch-up TV is as well. It's probably well worth watching. So people like that need care and support. But people in our situations as well, in our Christians who are working in the country, perhaps don't receive much in the way of support. Are we there for them? Volunteers in hospitals. I'm a paid chaplain. I do okay. But there are people who work without support. Jesus is saying, if you are truly a Christian, you will be on the lookout for brothers and sisters in need of help and support. Because in doing that, Jesus says, you're doing it to me. Again, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, verse 40, you did for me. And if that concept seems a little bit hard, doing good for others, why is that doing it for Jesus? Well, when Paul, the Apostle Paul, was confronted by Jesus in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus said to him, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." He'd been persecuting Christians. But Jesus says, "You're persecuting me. You hurt my people, Saul. You hurt me. And likewise, if you do good to God's people, you are doing good for the Lord Jesus." And so at the judgment, Christians are the sheep. They are the ones who look after God's people as though they were Jesus. And so there's a big question, therefore. How do we do that? Well, there are many ways. I could make a list and so could you. But I can simply say that Jesus is teaching that entry into God's kingdom will be people who show evidence that in their behaviour that God has changed them. When we become Christians, yes, we trust in Jesus. We believe that he's Lord. He died on the cross for our sins, and we trust in him. But when we do that, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit changes our lives. And so we learn to do good. Do good for all sorts of people, but especially we do good for our brothers and sisters in church and in other places as well. And the bafflement of these disciples in verses 37 to 39 indicates maybe they're not even aware of this. Christians who are born again do good. We don't do evil, we do good. And it should be part of the air we breathe as Christians to do good. But there's another side of the parable. We have the sheep, but we also have the goats, the unrighteous. And you can see there from verse 41 onwards. Then he will also say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, you didn't take care of me." They're the goats. That's the other side of the coin. I don't know whether you watch science fiction movies. I'm tending to watch less and less these days. But in my youth, I watched a movie called Doppelganger. And it's where an astronaut journeys from Earth to a planet that they discovered on the far side of the sun. Now, he found that that planet was just like Earth. It was a mirror image of Earth. Only everything was in reverse. Everything was backward. It was an alien world that looked like Earth and Earth's society, but everything was back to front. I think they did that because the special effects were cheap. You just ran the film backwards. The goats here are like Christian doppelgangers. They're an opposite reflection. They sort of look like the sheep, but they're not the sheep. And they get a surprise, verse 41. Depart from me, you are who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That is the worst judgment. They think they might be sheep, but they're really goats. They haven't thought about themselves. They go to punishment, the most dreadful verdict. We're talking about verdicts here. That is the worst verdict, to go to eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And then Jesus lists the same deeds, verses 42 and 43. I won't read them, but you can see them. Feeding, giving food, giving drink, visiting the sick, visiting those in prison. They haven't done them. When did you see? When did we not do these things? Verse 44. I tell you, verse 45, whenever you did not do for one of these, least of these, you did not do for me. Well, there is a king and he has a kingdom, and he decides who comes in. And who comes into that kingdom? The sheep. The sheep are those who are his people, Jesus' followers, but they are also living consistent lives. And so that means as Christians, we need to examine ourselves. Are we showing kindness to our brothers and sisters? Are we doing good to others? But particularly, are we doing that to brothers and sisters? And if you're wondering, well, am I a sheep or am I a goat? Well, what is the sign of that? When we come to church, what are we doing? Are we just sitting here doing something religious, or are we truly trusting in God? Are we looking to him? And are we loving our brothers and sisters? And out of that, all sorts of good things flow. And what chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew are saying, are you ready for the big judgment that's going to come? Because a day is coming. It will come. As soon as night follows day, it will come. And so are we, as Christians, building up, supporting fellow Christians as though they were Jesus himself? But are we goats? The worst verdict you would want to hear is, depart from me. King Jesus judges justly. We need to be ready, but we also need to do a bit of goat herding. I don't know if you've ever kept sheep or goat. We used to look after a couple of sheep when we lived in the country for a while. They're not very easy to herd, but they're wonderful creatures. But Matthew shows us that there is a final judgment. It's coming. Each day is a little bit closer. The world may not be ready for that day. In fact, it isn't ready for that day. That's why we need to make our message known to people. When I was a minister in Wingham on the mid-north coast, we lived about a kilometre from the abattoir, and that was the big employer in town, the abattoir, or the abs, as everyone called it. And every little while, the cattle trucks would come and bring in a fresh bunch of cattle to be processed. The waiting paddock was not far from home, and I'd sometimes walk or ride my bicycle out that way. Now, the smell from the abattoir was not very pleasant, particularly when the wrong wind was blowing. But the cattle in that paddock who were waiting for slaughter looked somewhat mournful, as though they knew something was about to happen. Judgment from them was about to happen. They were waiting for their verdict. So life is about verdicts, and this final verdict will come. Just like I was waiting in 2020 in the surgery for the doctor's verdict, the world will one day receive the verdict of the King. Who will enter the kingdom? His sheep, who have trusted and obeyed him and serve the King by serving others. Those who don't will be the goats who depart from the King. And I guess the big message here, don't be a goat. Examine yourself. Do I trust Jesus? Don't be a goat. Follow the Shepherd King.